This is HDN.
It's Tuesday. This is the Halifax Daily News with Jamie and Lisa.
Hey, and we told you that we would let you know when this happened. The weekly green cart.
Yes.
Yes. It's starting up again. It's back.
Yay! Let's hear it for the green cart.
It's yes. back.
Weekly. You know what? That is so good, though. Mm. Do you remember the summers that they, when they first introduced the green cart and we had to hang on to them for 2 weeks?
Back in those dark, dark days.
That's when I discovered maggots.
That's
never really seen them before other than horror movies. And yeah. There they were. Ugh.
Yeah. Weekly green cart collection starts Wednesday, July the 2nd and continues until Friday, August the 29th. Now, first time ever, all across the municipality. So it doesn't matter where you live, you stick that green card out, it doesn't matter how much or how little is in it, and they will pick it up once a week during the months of July and August.
And even if you don't have green card waste, just put it out there anyway just to see, because you can.
Just to taunt them?
Yeah, well, no, I think that would make their day.
Mm.
They go up to a big old green cart and they're expecting this thing to weigh a ton and there's nothing in there. Would that upset them or would they be happy?
I don't think they would care one way or the
other.
Yeah,
you know what? What? You've seen one empty green cart, you've seen
right.
them all. We really mix them up. You know, what would happen if you get an entire neighborhood and they all just put out empty green carts? The guy has to halfway through go, okay, did we?
Well,
okay.
It's all automatic, right? I mean, you just roll it up to the truck and the truck grabs it and dumps it.
Yeah, so if you roll them up, well, when you roll them up, you know if it's empty or if it's full.
I suppose.
And then when the truck dumps nothing, after about the 10th one, I think you'd start to say, hang on, is this the right day? Did we do this neighborhood before? Oh, my mind is being blown.
Oh, end of an era on Barrington Street. The United Book Exchange is going to be closing the end of July. Now, this place has been around, as previously mentioned, since Christ was a cowboy.
I don't remember. I'm not into your fancy book learning.
Oh, you don't remember? It used to be the used bookstore, magazines, right there on Barrington Street. It's down by where the Roy Building is.
Okay.
And they actually say...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They like... rack after rack of paperback novels, that
yep.
type of thing. That they
yep.
Okay, yeah, I remember them.
And the owner says he just can't face another 2 years of construction around him. The redevelopment of the Roy Building next door has certainly taken a chunk out of his business. And, you know, he says, let's face it, the book business just ain't what it used to be. So, yeah, the end of July will be the end of the United Book Exchange on Barrington Street. Back to garbage for a moment. Mm-hmm. The dog park is not the only thing that City Council is going to be dealing with during today's meeting.
Please tell me it's going to be the only thing that pisses me off.
Well, I don't know. Depends on how you feel about your garbage.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be debating, again, the whole trash in clear plastic bags issue with only one small opaque grocery bag allowed. And they're also discussing whether or not the garbage bag limit would be cut from 6 to 4. They're also going to be looking at grass clippings, leaves, and cardboard that is going to be banned from the green bins. Instead, yard waste would be collected in separate paper bags. And all of these suggested changes were in a city staff report. That
love those staff reports.
Aren't they great? They're a slice of something special, aren't they? So, again, that's something that they're going to be discussing later today.
That's when they'll decide when to go into their next round of discussions.
No, it makes perfect sense. You have to discuss what the next discussion is going to be so you can discuss the discussions around it.
Yes. Now, what's the whole thing with the clear bags? People are upset with having clear bags because they don't want people to look at their garbage?
Pretty much so.
Oh, embarrassing products, perhaps?
Well, and that's why they say you can have one opaque bag for sort of bathroom waste.
Yeah, but that's the one bag that people are actually going to go look through. You know, like, hey, there's the opaque bag. That's where the good stuff is. Oh, get that one up.
Hey, if they want to do that, then... fill your boots,
I'm
baby.
Waiting for people to go through my garbage. I want to become famous enough so that they can go through my garbage.
That's your goal, is it?
Yeah. And maybe give me a gold star for separating it properly.
Aim high. Well, and that's the reason, basically, that they want people to do...
Oh, they're checking up on us, are they?
Yeah, that's it exactly. They want to make sure that people are composting. They want to make sure that people are recycling. And if you don't, you know, if you don't adhere to the rules, then they'll slap one of those dreaded orange stickers on your garbage bag.
I was living in a house on Russell Street in North End, Halifax for a while when the green bins first came into effect. We lived in the middle middle floor. There was somebody mm-hmm. below us and somebody on top of us.
Right.
All of us shared one green bin.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. And one of the people in the house did not adhere to the rules, did not respect the rules of the green bin.
Mm.
So they were putting things like diapers and stuff in plastic bags. And like, seriously, you almost had to go out of your way to put things that were less compostable than the stuff they threw in there. So what happened to us? Well, they looked at that and they said, nope. And they slapped a big orange sticker on it and said, no, we're not going to take that. So not only was it 2 weeks that we had that, it was four.
Ugh.
And somebody had to go through it and pull out all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
And they refused to do it. I think what we did is buried everything in real compost so that when they dumped it in the truck, they couldn't see all that crap that was down there. Well, I wasn't going to go digging through dirty diapers that were four weeks old. Thank you very much.
And nor should you. I mean, it's not, it wasn't your garbage.
No,
so.
But there are people in this world, I mean, seriously, they don't quite understand. To me, I always, even in the theaters, you know, you put the things in the proper mm-hmm. receptacles, but there are people that just dump it all in the garbage still.
Well, it's one of those things that, my God, I try, but they seem to be changing up the rules as you know, and if they implement these rules, it's like, okay, so now I can't put box board in there. Okay, check. Okay, grass clippings, no. Yard waste, no. But used to be able to.
You have a Nazi husband, though. That's the thing.
Yes.
You keep trying to, you take your corrugated cardboard and you go, oh, man, maybe if I just slip that underneath this into the blue bag, he won't notice. And I pull it out. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse you.
What constitutes box board?
Board is like a cereal box.
Okay, so does that include cereal bars? Does that include?
No. When I say cereal box, it has nothing to do with the item. I'm just picture in your mind a cereal box.
Yeah, I do. But I mean, so is that Kleenex boxes?
Yes.
Is that okay?
But there's a little bit of plastic on that Kleenex box. So you got to rip that plastic off.
Okay. Now, is that recyclable or is that just garbage?
I just throw it. It depends on my mood.
Exactly.
I throw it in the recyclable half the time, garbage half the time. But you know what? Basically, what I've been told is if you do it properly, you're not going to have very much garbage.
Mm.
I mean, most of the stuff that we have can either go in the green bin or in a recycle bag.
All right.
So really, you should not have that much garbage. If you're lugging out bag after bag of garbage every single week, then you're not doing it right.
No, exactly.
Any other questions? You can ask the expert. I know these things. I know my garbage, ma'am.
Time now for this segment of Ask the Expert.
What really gets me, though, is you can get this box board, but it's coated.
Mm.
It's like the stuff that you get frozen burgers in or that type
exactly.
of thing. I think that is garbage. I think when it's... No, I wasn't making a statement there. I think that's just garbage. No, I think that it is garbage once they put that kind of a coating on it. Mm. Kind of like the Tim Hortons cups. You can't throw it into the compost bins anymore.
Okay, so the cups are not compostable or recyclable. What about the plastic lids?
Tim Hortons cups are recyclable. But you have to take them back to Tim Hortons.
Oh, see.
See, Tim Hortons actually they are recycling it themselves. Mm. They are asking you to, they have bins at the stores. Have you not seen that lately?
I have not, no.
Yeah. So you can take your cups back to Timmy's.
Uh-huh. Anything it's also else? Confusing.
It is, but you know, it's a science and it's kind of fun when you get into it. Hell, I remember as a kid, we just throw everything. Not even in the garbage. We just throw it out the window.
The car window.
Throw it out the car. We're going for a drive, family. Why? Well, we got a lot of garbage to get rid of.
Sad, but true.
Oh, and then we throw it into the... do they still have garbage disposals? You know, garburators in the sink there? Yeah, I guess they do.
Oh, so sure they do. Yeah.
I mean, we just put everything in that. Bones, you know, the remains of bodies and things like that. We had one of the new advanced garbage disposals when we got it way, way, way back when.
Because your dad's into gadgets big time.
Well, no, he likes getting the new things.
Yeah.
They're not the best things, but they're the new things. Like when we got a microwave, it came with like a lead vest and a Geiger counter. Because, I mean, it was brand new.
And it was
new.
The size of a mobile home.
Yeah, and it could cook popcorn. And wieners. That was about all it could cook. But when we got the garbage disposal, everybody had the switch on the wall.
Right.
You would turn on and off. Well, this one had a magnet on the bottom of the plug that you put into the sink. And
okay.
The magnet would turn this thing on. So you'd start the water flowing, and then you'd put the plug into the sink. And as soon as you put that plug in, it would start going. It was like a magic trick. My friends were just blown away by it.
Well, actually, that kind of makes sense. You would think that would be a safety feature because then nothing would...
However, when they manufactured the little thing that went into the stopper, they obviously didn't do that great of a job because one day we put it in there and the little magnet thing detached from the plug and it fell right down to the garbage disposal, leaving it on. You know, we had to, where's the breaker? Quick, we got to turn off all the power. This thing was like going and going. We couldn't turn it off. And you can't, it was really dangerous because you pulled the lid out and it was still going.
Yeah.
And you could stick your hand in there and, anyway, I'm way off on a tangent here. Sorry, just a little trip down gadget memory lane in the Patterson household.
So joining us in the Beaver Bank bunker right now, we have Dr. Jeff Goodall from Sunnyview Animal Hospital. Hey, Dr. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me in the bunker. It's light and airy here. I love it.
Now, evidently, you heard our rant, or one of my rants. This time, it was about declawing cats, and you wrote us on Twitter, and you said you wanted to clarify a few things.
I just wanted to clarify a few things that really were in the media about the meeting more than declawing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my biggest concern, I respect Dr. Chisholm very much, thought highly of him for years, but it was like we were at two different meetings almost. A little bit of background. About 7-8 years ago, the Nova Scotia Veterinary Medical Association, which is our governing body, unilaterally imposed a ban on tail docking, on other cosmetic procedures like ear cropping, which these things are just plain wrong. That was mm-hmm. never an issue. Mm-hmm. But when they put that motion through, they included a few other things. The big one was puppy declaw removal, dew claw removal, little thumbnails removal from puppies under the age of 5 days or less.
Mm.
And we started to see, at least in our practice and another practice that I'm very good friends with, we started to see the number of puppies presenting later, maybe 6-7 months of age, with the dew claw malformed because people were starting to do tail docking and puppy dew claw removal as a backyard industry.
Ugh.
And because, you know, there's no great enforcement of animal cruelty legislation by anybody, there's nothing we can do about it. So we were kind of perplexed as to how our council could have let that go through and taken away the opportunity for it to be properly done in a clinical setting, and the veterinarian would be, you know, professionally responsible to train themselves and make sure that the pain was managed and what have you. So if I give that background, or then forward to the meeting.
Mm.
The meeting was frustrating because Dr. Chisholm brought the motion from a petition, I believe, last fall. He and I and a few others sat on a committee through the winter time.
Yeah, now that was my understanding, that it first came up at the meeting in the fall, and then sort of the decision was made to strike a council to study it further. But you were on that council, that committee.
Yeah, and we all were like, yeah, you know what, this is a practice that we're not too satisfied with. My personal perspective was, for example, when the motion for the petition originally came up, in the last 3 years, I've done three declaws, one per year. And two clients took it upon themselves to write letters to council asking that if I hadn't performed the declaw for their cats, they wouldn't have been able to keep them.
Hmm.
And the reason I declawed those three cats, two clients had cancer, so much that if they had a puncture wound in their skin, they were getting infection.
Hmm.
And one was a client who was immunocompromised. Dr. Chisholm's opinion was that, hey, there's no evidence that those clients got their infection from their cat, which is true. He made a few other comments, you know, that this is still a barbaric procedure from his perspective. And I think what was also lost in the whole media frenzy or media interest in this was that in the end, the motion from the committee sent to council and the motion that was presented to the membership was non-binding.
Right.
It didn't matter whether it passed or not. Council's going to make their own mind up.
And when you say council, you mean city council?
No, sorry. Our veterinary governing council.
Okay.
It has a 5-member council that is elected every year. 4 of the 5 members are elected every year. And they're going to make their decision based on the submission from the committee,
mm-hmm.
to which Dr. Chisholm decided not to sign his name because it didn't outright ban. It recommended the consideration of maybe a council of veterinarians meeting for any declaw procedure submitted by any member.
Mm.
It made a bunch of different ideas and said, hey, council, you know, what do you want to do with it? And council came back with just Dr. Chisholm's motion, which is, you know, outright ban.
Right.
And the problem was, if you look through the lens of 7 years ago being banned and of doing many cosmetic procedures, many of which were wrong, and shouldn't be done. Mm-hmm. A couple other ones got caught up in it that shouldn't have been probably banned, and the possibility that a licensed veterinarian with proper training should be able to do that. So no one at the meeting, except for one, was pro declaw, is the point. But everybody who voted against the motion were anti being banned outright from not being able to pursue the procedure if they felt it warranted.
So where do we stand now? I mean, by shooting this whole thing down, does that mean everybody is free to declaw as much as they want, or are there some restrictions on it?
Well, I hope there will be some restrictions placed on it. That's the key here, is that no one was pro-declaw. Everybody was anti an outright ban on everything, on this. And the concern was that if they banned one thing, would they do what they did last time, which is carry in other procedures that we're not aware of yet? Also, too, I guess I would say that my practice is a laser surgical practice, and the three claw declaws that we've done over the last 3-4 years were all done with laser. And what came up was in the meeting was that with newer pain modulation techniques and the use of, say, laser surgery, the few cases that may have to be considered, these cats do extremely well postoperatively. Mm. Yes, it is still, and I count our policy in our practice, just so you know, it's a personal practice policy, is basically what I proposed to counsel, which was, it's a committee of the two veterinarians in the practice. Mm-hmm. They interview the client. Then they interview and examine the patient, so two separate occasions. So the client has to come in twice, regardless of being a current client of the practice or a referral. We interview the client on, you know, what are your goals here? And if it's furniture scratching and, you know, that, no, it's not going to happen in our practice.
That used to be commonplace not all that
long
ago.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Nope, I agree with you. I completely agree with you. The past practices were questionable. You know, it's not Civil War medicine anymore sort of approach right. to human medicine either. So our techniques have finally developed where things are reasonable. Mm. For example, I get approached to debark dogs. This didn't come up in the conversation, but I'll use that as an example.
To debark dogs.
Again, a very common procedure when I first graduated. I'd never done it. Where, you know, the dog barks too much. Can you stop him barking? And when I got my laser unit, I got a flurry of about 2002, I guess it was. I got a flurry of emails from New Brunswick and other places, you know, would you debark these dogs? And I was like, well, no, I don't agree with it. There's no reason for it. There's no way to do it right. Mm. And this is a natural thing. And you could extrapolate that to declaw, Jamie and your aunt. I agree. You know, there is a way for that occasional need to be met. Mm. But overall, it should not be done. And I would argue that why not have a committee meet and make sure that, you know, if someone really needs that cat declawed, as upsetting as that could be, if we use proper pain modulation, proper surgical technique, meet with the owners, make sure their expectations are either met or, quite honestly, I'd say what I didn't say is of the three cases that I did do in the last 5 years, there were six other rejected. And two of them got very upset with me. I mean, they were like, how dare you? Because I'm going to put my cat down. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to put your cat through this regardless. So please don't be like that. What's interesting is the six people who were rejected, if you will, four were referrals and three became clients. So even though I rejected them, they actually came to the clinic.
Dr. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And, you know, I love the light, airy feel of a otherwise protected bunker that you have.
And we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Until then.